Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see so many of you here, even before the service started. Last two or three weeks, we've been wondering if the congregation was going to outnumber the choir, and we usually did, but it sometimes took longer than the 11 o'clock hour, so it's good to see all of you here. Maybe it's the lack of snow and lack of cold temperatures outside, I'm not sure what, but yeah. It's good to have you here today, and I'm glad that you're here to worship on the second Sunday of Lent. And if you are visiting here, we extend a special welcome to you. We want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a tide refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right next door to the parlor. On the back page of the bulletin, you'll see the calendar for this week, and there are board meeting today and one next Sunday. Just calling your attention to that in case you are serving on one of those boards. This is the round of the first board meetings after annual meetings, so some of the boards will have new members, and then be election of officers and changes in leadership. So it's a relatively light week as far as boards go. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 83 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from the New Testament letter Titus. And let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. At one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures.
But when the kindness and love of our Savior appeared, he saved us.
Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy.
So that
our opening hymn this morning is Amazing Grace, number 85. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 only. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Together.
Holy God, we are always in need and we are too quickly to forget all that you have done for us. We often forget that you are with us in both good times and in bad. We forget that you're always close at hand, ready to listen, even when we don't know the words to say. We come today to sing, to pray, to hear again your words of grace and love. Help us in this time of worship to feel your loving presence. We ask this in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son.
be seated.
It's nice and neat to do a children's message this morning. So we have some children in our congregation today, so it's nice to have that. And so while my message is aimed towards the children, we're all children of God, so it's sort of directed towards all of us. And I usually ask some rhetorical questions. And my first question is, have you ever been hungry? Now, I'm looking especially at children here. You've been hungry? I'm hearing some yeses. How long have you gone without food? Have you gone a day without food?
A
week? No? No? Okay. How about 40 days? 40 days without food. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus fasted and was in the wilderness for 40 days. And fasting is a spiritual discipline where you really don't eat much. You may drink some water, but you really don't eat anything. So you can imagine how hungry he was. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted at that point. And that the tempter came and said to Jesus, "See that rock over there? I brought a rock from the parking lot this morning. You saw me you came in while I was out there. I was looking for a rock. And I'm sure the rock was bigger than this. But imagine being tempted, being told that turn this into a roll or a biscuit. Now, if you haven't eaten for 40 days, that might be tempting, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't it be? But I'm sure that it was probably a larger stone and that you could have a loaf of bread from that stone. And Jesus, do you think Jesus turned the bread into the stone into bread?
No.
He could. But he didn't. He said, people do not live by bread alone, but by the
word
of God. We don't need just physical nourishment. We need spiritual nourishment. And the thing to learn from that, one of the many things to learn from that, is that Jesus was not selfish. He didn't take this, he didn't bow into this temptation. He didn't, do something that would, satisfy him very shortly, for a very brief time, to have a loaf of bread to eat, even though I'm sure his stomach was growling, or maybe he'd been past the point of the stomach growling, that he was just so hungry. But at that point, he still thought about other people. And it was more important to be focused on the Word of God for his nourishment than on bread. So, we need to be thinking about that. And this is the Lenten season, time of getting ready for Easter. We like to have Easter. We get new clothes, and we have sunrise service, and we celebrate that the tomb is empty. But we have a lot of work to do before we get there. And so during this 6 weeks of preparation, we focus on different things. And one of the things is looking at the Word of God rather than on our spiritual needs. Looking at our spiritual needs rather than our physical needs. So let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came and lived as a role model, as a teacher, as a healer. Most importantly, he came and died for us. Help us, Lord, to look to Jesus, especially during this Lenten season, as our example of how we should live. And Lord, we just pray that we may draw closer to you, that we may have a good relationship with you through your love and your grace. Amen. So students may lead for their class at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you, Irene and Marilyn.
It's come to a time that we have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with the church family as we go into prayer. And we want to continue remembering Delphine Haldane. Delphine has been transferred to rehab in Woburn. I did see her this week and doing well. Anxious to get home to Davenport. I don't know exactly how long, but I guess it would be at least another week before she will do that. We're glad to have Donnie Latta back with us. Donnie had the flu and recuperating still, but well enough to be here. So we're so glad that Donnie's back to be able to be with us. We want to keep Jackie May in prayer and her husband Alan. Jackie's not doing well at all, so we want to keep Jackie in prayer. And we want to keep Barbara and David Tolstra from the family in prayer. Their son David passed away a week ago.
Very suddenly,
very unexpectedly. And the funeral service will be here on Friday, on Saturday morning. So we want to keep the Tolstra family in prayer today as well. And other folks have been, you know, out, and I understand Amelia's not feeling well today, has the flu. Has a cold. I didn't see Rosalind. You peeked in here. So Amelia's not feeling well.
Yeah, she just doesn't want to spread the virus.
We appreciate that. Yes, if you're sick, please keep your tongue at home. But we want to keep Amelia in prayer. I know some other folks have some, you know, bugs going around, so we want to keep them in prayer. But glad that, you know, so many people are here today. Almost standing room only. Nice. Very different from the past few weeks. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns you'd like to share? Richard?
It's me with the celebrations. Mm-hmm. First of all, Emily returned safely from France.
Good.
On Friday evening. Her mother says she can't stop talking.
In English or French?
In English. And she was delighted. The home that she stayed in has a living grandmother who cooks all day long. Wow. Emily said, I think I gained 10 pounds. And my grandson moved back from Arizona and is temporarily living with us. Arrived Thursday night on a motorcycle, 3,400 miles.
Wow.
Rode across the south and then up the east.
So we celebrate, you know, both Emily and Todd's safe arrival. Those are our celebrations. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Hey.
Chris's job is going great.
Good. You just started a new job. Your grandson Chris just started a new job. Doing well. That's good. Anyone else have a request? Not, then let's go to God, lifting up someone or something that's been mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. And gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together this morning to worship you. For some of us, we may have traveled a very short distance, and others may have traveled many miles to be here today. For some of us, this is where we are every Sunday morning, and for others, it may be the first time that we've been here. But Lord, wherever we are on those spectra, we just gather today as your children. We gather as this church family today. We spend these moments in conversation with you. We thank you for the opportunity of always being able to pray to you, no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstance is, that you are always on call. You're always on duty. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that we can bring our highest joys to you and share with you that. But you are also there in our deepest despairs. That you are a God of all times. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we lift up to you those people whom we know who are ill today. And just pray for your spirit to be with them. We pray for healing in their lives according to your will. Lord, we also pray for those who are in mourning today, that many in our church family have lost loved ones in their extended families in recent weeks. And Lord, we just lift them up today, and whether it's a recent death or even the anniversary of a death from years ago, Lord, there's still an emptiness in our hearts. Lord, we just pray that your spirit may fill that emptiness, that while we remember our loved ones with joy, with smiles, Lord, we just pray for your spirit to fill that emptiness we may feel. Lord, during this Lenten season, we focus on Jesus, and we pray that we may have a closer relationship with him, that we may walk ever closer with him. We also pray for our nation, O Lord, as you know, major decisions are going to be made in coming months as to who our next president will be, who the next Supreme Court justice will be, or just who the leadership will be of our nation. Lord, there's a lot of rancor going on right now. We expect to hear more in the coming weeks and months. But Lord, we just pray that those who will be going to the polls, that we may have open hearts and open minds, that we may make the best decisions for our nation, that the best leaders may be elected. And we pray, Lord, that they may find ways of working together once the process is completed, that decisions can be made that will be beneficial to not only our nation, but also our world. Lord, we thank you for the creation that you have given to us. We pray that we may be wise stewards of all that you have bestowed to us. Now, Lord, we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've read scripture together this morning, and now we have an opportunity to continue in worship as we present our tithes and our gifts as ushers receive the morning offering.
Let
present these tithes and gifts to you, we do pray that we may have a closer walk with you. We pray that we may use these gifts wisely to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, that they too may come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen. Amen. I invite you to turn and greet those who are standing near you this morning. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only of our next hymn, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, number 205. Blum is our lay leader today and will be reading the scripture.
And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him in the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and you guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And when the devil has ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. That says the reading of the Bible.
Thank you, Peggy. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning from your holy word, that Jesus was tempted, just like we are tempted. And Lord, unfortunately, we succumb to temptation often, where Jesus did not. But Lord, in these moments, we pray that our hearts and our minds may be open, that we may find strength to live through our temptations. I mean, we may find courage to live through these Lenten days. We may find ways to renew and establish our relationship with you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever lost anything?
Yes.
Have you ever found something?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. The season of Lent is a time when many of us try to lose some things, such as bad habits or other practices that pull us away from God. And Lent is often a time when we search for a deeper relationship with God. So on the second Sunday of Lent, I want us to look at Jesus' temptations and to see if he lost or found anything. Today's scripture tells us that prior to that, if you backed up into the third chapter of Luke, you would see Jesus' baptism. That after his baptism, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and being tempted by the devil. We talked earlier about 40 days. That's a long time to fast. Eating nothing at all, according to Luke's gospel. A long time to be tempted by Satan. But fortunately, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit during this period. And he was led by the Spirit in that wilderness. And as grueling as those 40 days were, they had a purpose. For God knew that Jesus had to lose or let go of some things and needed to find or hold on to other things. Important items are lost and found all the time in every place. And if you Google that, you can find all kinds of lists of things that sometimes you have to wonder, how could somebody lose that? Well, they get forgetful. Some of the things that are lost and found are good and some are not so good. Some should be released. Once they get lost, it's better to leave them lost. And some should be grasped tightly so we never lose them. The challenge in life is to figure out what should be lost and what should be found. At the end of 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus knew exactly what he needed to do. Luke tells us that Jesus ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished, which is more than being hungry. It's beyond being hungry. He's famished. And the devil says to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become a loaf of bread." So here, Jesus is being challenged. And, if you're the Son of God, you've got the power. You're hungry. Create a meal for yourself right now. That was a tempting proposition, since Jesus is hungry and certainly has the power to transform a piece of marble into a marble rye. But Jesus answers, "It is written." Written where? In Scripture. "One does not live by bread alone." So in this first temptation, what's lost? A loaf of bread to fill Jesus' stomach. But something else was found. The nourishment of the Word of God. Jesus reaffirmed that the nourishment of the Word of God is more important than the temporary filling of one's stomach by bread. We face a similar temptation when we feel empty inside and we look for something physical to fill us up. Maybe it's a piece of chocolate or a curved screen TV or a piece of jewelry or the latest smartphone. Having such desires is nothing new. People have been feeling this way for thousands of years. In the time of Jesus, rich people wanted bigger barns to store their grain and their goods in. Jesus even told a parable about that, about the desires that people have for their earthly things. Today, we desire bigger homes, faster computers, and well-equipped cars with that new car smell. But none of these things provide lasting satisfaction, and some can be hazardous to our health. That new car smell is produced by the outgassing of various volatile organic compounds, so it's really not good to be breathing in that new car smell. It's better to follow the example of Jesus, who quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This means choosing to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God, as Micah wrote. It means following the great commandment of Jesus to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Such choices will nourish us. They'll feed us. They'll wipe out any hunger that we have. And they will also give us life. Much more than a loaf of bread or a brand new car or the latest smartphone. Luke goes on and says, the next, the devil leads Jesus to the high place, the pinnacle, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. The devil says to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it can all be yours. You want to feed somebody's ego? You want to feed somebody's ego? But Jesus said, it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. In the second temptation, what's lost is the authority over the kingdoms of the world. But what's found is that worshiping and serving God alone satisfies that. In his book, The Road to Character, David Brooks tells the story of Augustine, the 4th century theologian. Augustine deeply desired fame and status, but found that these things didn't make him happy. Nothing he was accomplishing as a philosopher was giving him the contentment that he desired. Brooks writes, left to ourselves, we often desire the wrong things, whether it's around the dessert tray or the late night bar. We know we should choose one thing, but end up choosing another. We understand our long-term interest, but end up pursuing short-term pleasures. Even good things, such as friendship, will leave us unsatisfied if the friendship is not attached to something higher. In the end, Augustine turns to God and says, our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee, O Lord. Nothing in this world will give us the rest and the peace that only God can give. This is why Jesus says no to the authority over all the kingdoms of the world and says yes to worshiping and serving God alone. Continuing in Luke's gospel, Luke records that the devil takes Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city of God, and places Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple and says, if you are the Son of God, again, there's that other challenge, if you are, prove it. If you are, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. The devil has heard Jesus quoting scripture, so now he tries it himself. In Psalm 91, he finds the words that he hopes will change Jesus' mind. Words which are followed by the verse, on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus responds with scripture again. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This comes in the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus hears the devil's quotation from Psalm 91 and counters with this other verse of scripture. It's certainly true that God will send angels to protect us and bear us up in times of danger, but not if we willingly put ourselves in harm's way and challenge God to save us. What's lost in this final temptation is a dramatic rescue by the angels of God. Jesus gave that up. What's found is a right relationship with God, one in which God is served rather than tested. Jesus knows that the verse from Deuteronomy about testing God is followed by the words, "Do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may go well with you." That instruction, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We might have to ask ourselves, do we do that? And if so, how? In other words, maybe we shouldn't drink or do drugs and then get on the highway saying, "Save me, God." Or intentionally behave in promiscuous or reckless ways and then say, "Help me, Jesus." I often talk to students and say, don't not study for a test. And go into the test and say, "Okay, Lord, give me the answers." Instead, we should do what is right and good. After all these temptations, the devil departs from Jesus until an opportune time. Jesus comes through this game of lost and found by letting go of some things and finding some others. Always quoting Scripture. I'm wondering if we were put to the test the same way. Hunger, power, having someone help us just because of reckless behavior. Would we match up with Jesus? In the end, Jesus finds much more than he loses. And the same is true for us. We can find real nourishment in the Word of God, in teachings that show us the path to deep and lasting satisfaction. We can find rest and peace by worshiping God alone. And we can find safety and security in a right relationship with God, one that is based on serving instead of testing. As always, Jesus shows us the things that are worth finding and what we should be willing to lose. May we look to Jesus this Lenten season as we seek to release some of the things that keep us separated from God. And may we grasp onto those things that lead us to a new life and renewed relationship with our Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, in this Lenten season, we at times will feel tempted. And Lord, we pray that we may turn to Jesus as an example. Lord, we pray that we may have the strength from you, and we may turn to your word. We may find nourishment there. That we may find that there are no other gods. That we may turn away from those things and turn only to you. Lord, we do seek a lasting relationship with you. Forgive us if we tend to test you at times. Help us to have servant hearts as we reach out to others and as we strive to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn is perhaps new to many of us, but I think quite appropriate for our theme today. And it's called "Yield Not to Temptation," number 638. And we'll stand as we sing.
Ask the Savior to help you.
Temptations abound to reach for what is immediate and easy rather than to wait for the fullness of God's timing to receive what is most deeply satisfying and meaningful. Let us follow the example of Jesus, pursue wholeness and holiness, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to find our lives in God. Amen.